you don't do what he's done for me. Oh, yes, he gave
me the victory.
Oh, and that's why I love, yes, I love him. I really love the Lord. He watches over me. And he watches over me. Oh, well, he
watches.
Yes, he does. And you don't know what he's done
for me.
Oh, yes, he gave me. Yes, he. Oh, and that's why I love the Lord. I love him. I really love the Lord. And you know what he's done
for me.
Oh, yes, he gave me. Thank you, Lord. And that's why I love, yes, I
love him. I really love the Lord.
Oh, that's beautiful. That is so beautiful. If you are visiting with us this morning here at the Fifth Ward Church, you are truly, truly our honored guests, and we thank you so much for being a part of our fellowship. Our elders will acknowledge all of the visitors at the end of our worship service. If you're watching by way of television this morning, you too are our guests, our honored guests, and thank you for tuning in. If we can assist you, if we can pray with you, pray for you, if you call a number on your screen, we'll be more than happy to do that. We just thank you for with all the choices that you have that you stop for a moment, and we hope that you would allow the Lord to speak to you this morning through his servant, and if we can minister to you in any way, please feel free to call us. But more than that, we hope that you take the time. If you are seeing this, we know you are somewhere in Houston, but we hope you take the time to come by and visit the Church of Christ that meets here at Fifth Ward on the corner of Interstate 10 and Waco Street. Just good to be here this morning. Just good to be here. Good to see everyone. And we know that today has been designated as Easter Sunday, and each spring, millions of people around the world acknowledge in some form, another, in some fashion, that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. Some almost, 2,000 years ago, 20 centuries ago, and modern society calls this day Easter. I'm always tempted to deliver another sermon, another lesson on this day. But it is such it's a good teaching day. It's a good teaching day. And it's not all, a lot of good things happen today. It seems like people acknowledge that there is a God.
Amen.
And that has to be good. It has to be good for the world and the world that we live in. But I want to do a little teaching, and it might be kind of repetitious to some, but listen, and hopefully God will speak to you this morning. Not me, but God will speak to you this morning. And the origin of this term Easter is somewhat uncertain, though it's commonly thought that the word Easter is the name of a spring goddess, little g, G-O-D-D-E-S. And that needs to be stated because this is not a, Easter is really not a Bible term. It's really not. If you are Bible students, now if you take the King James translation of the Bible in Acts chapter 12 and verse 4, everybody's all right, huh? You don't mind a little teaching from the Word of God this morning, do you? From Acts chapter 12, verse 4, it is the word Easter, E-A-S-T-E-R, is referred to in Acts chapter 12, verse 4. I'll read it. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quarternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. But the original translation, the language, the Greek, as the New Testament was written in, all of the manuscript copies use the word pascha. It's the word P-A-S-C-H-A, pascha. It's the word that actually means Passover. It's the Passover. It's an Old Testament term. And without a doubt, that's what it is, because all of the modern translations, they use the word Passover. If you turn it to the New American Standard, NIV translation, no other translation uses that term Easter but the King James. And it's I'm sure it's for a reason, but even then it was referring to the Passover. And that is very important, because the Passover, go to the book of the Old Testament, the book of Numbers, chapter 9, verse 1, Numbers 9, 1. Thus the Lord spoke to Moses in the wilderness of Sinai in the first month of the second year after they had come out of the land of Egypt, saying, now let the sons of Israel, notice this, if you're not an Israelite, You're not commanded or authorized to celebrate or remember this day anyway. And I doubt that we have many Israelites in here this morning, but listen to what it says. Observe the Passover at its appointed time. On the 14th day of this month at twilight, you shall observe it at its appointed time. You shall observe it according to all the statutes and according to all its ordinances. In other words, the Jews were to observe this Passover. Now, one thing that at this time, I think whoever the powers that be, whoever designated that Easter is celebrated in this week in April, because the Passover, the first Jewish month, is the month Nisan, which is a March, April. So they did get it. It is celebrated around the time of Passover. And so they did get that right, because, you know, those of you that are students and are scholars of the Bible or period, you know that Christmas in December the 25th surely is, and nobody has, is not the date, birth date of Jesus Christ. And it's probably nowhere around the time that Jesus Christ was born, but at least they got this one kind of close this time. And I'll make a point about that in just a second. Now, don't turn me off, right? I'm just doing some teaching, okay, this morning? Now notice this. It says, now, the Passover, Jesus was crucified. Brother Barry in here. Brother Barry. Brother, get for me John chapter 20. It's not in my notes. John chapter 20, beginning at verse 1. Don't read it yet. Now, Christians, New Testament Christians, are not commanded are authorized in the Bible to celebrate this Easter day as a special day for Jesus' resurrection. We're not commanded in the Bible. No two New Testament Christians are. The early New Testament church did not celebrate this Easter Sunday one event. Well, Brother Gary, what did they do? Well, see, we celebrate and commemorate Jesus' resurrection every first day. Every Sunday. That's good. So, see, we may have somebody that's visiting. Somebody, you know, you say, well, I want to celebrate Jesus' resurrection on this Easter Sunday. Well, we do it every Sunday. Amen. Yeah, we do it. We don't wait for one Sunday out of the year to commemorate that, because we do know, according to the scriptures, that Jesus rose on the first day, which is our Sunday, the first day of the week. Now, read, Brother Barry, John chapter 20, beginning at verse 1. First one. The first day of the week, that's the Sunday. That's the day after the Passover. It's the Sabbath day. No, excuse me, the Sabbath day is a Saturday. The first day of the week would be equivalent to our Sunday. Listen, read, Brother Barry.
Early when it was yet dark.
Until the sepulchre,
and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre.
Read.
Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter, the other disciple, whom Jesus loved.
Right. Yes.
They have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre.
They didn't take him away. Jesus rose from the dead.
Amen.
On the first day of the week. And now notice, we as Christians, we come together to partake of this bread on the first day of the week, commemorating Jesus' death, his burial, and his resurrection. When the disciples came together, according to Acts chapter 20 and verse number 7, but when the disciples came together to break bread, they did it on the first day of the week. Get for me 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 1 and 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 1 and 2, what the Christians did. Read that one for me, Brother Barry. I know you. Now concerning the collection for the saints. Read. On the first day of the week, Christians came together. They broke bread. There was an offering taken up on the first day of the week. And we do that today here in churches of Christ all around the country. Let me just say this, not all of them, but this church of Christ, we partake of the Lord's Supper and we take an offering every first day of the week. Why? Because that's the way they did it in the Bible. Notice this. And when we do it, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. Let me read this. For I receive, this is the Apostle Paul writing to the church at Corinth. For I receive from the Lord that which I also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance. We do it in remembrance of him. And so while there are those who are doing it once a year, notice, drop down to verse number 26. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. So they did it often. They met on the first day of the week. They met every first day of the week. So we partake of the Lord's Supper every first day of the week, and we commemorate Jesus' death, his burial, and his resurrection. And it don't have to be Easter Sunday to do it. Amen, somebody. Amen, amen, amen. And so we thought we'd make sure the church is educated and knows, you know, we don't just swallow everything everybody give us. Yeah, that's it. Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall. Now I say that in all the love that I have as a minister of God, because I personally am glad that at least sometime folk recognize Jesus and the importance of Jesus and the masses around the world, because the resurrection of Jesus is the foundation of Christianity. It is. And though we can teach on many things, and some of us want to hear sermons on relationships and how to get along better, and that's good, that has its place, but if there's no resurrection, we have no hope. And it is what distinguishes Christianity from all other faiths and all other teachings and all other religions, if you will. As I want to make a point this morning of sharing the significance of this resurrection of Jesus Christ. Listen to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse number 17. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse number 17. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is worthless. Yeah, wouldn't be any reason for us to be here today, this morning, if Jesus Christ hadn't raised from the dead. And see, I know some of us don't have an appreciation for the resurrection. And I know, I wish I had times. Many of you know that have been here a while that I used to manage a funeral home for 8 years. So I have a special appreciation for the resurrection, because I've seen many, 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 many bodies who were lifeless, didn't have life in them. And I'm telling you today, I know there are a lot of jokes and there are a lot of television programs that sensationalize death. And you have so many programs that have folks coming back from the dead and waking up and getting up in zombie programs and Death of the Dawn. You have Dracula and Blackula. Folk coming back to life. But as long as I've been in that funeral home, I have never, ever seen one of those bodies get up and dance. Never, ever in my life. So, well, Brother Gary, do they move sometimes? They move when somebody moves them. And you got to know, you're talking about something, somebody, whatever, that has power over death. Somebody better listen. Amen. And see, so the resurrection is the epitome. It is the climax. It is what gives God power, Jesus Christ, the power for the whole world to listen. And he says, and if Christ has not been raised, your faith is, you are still in your sins. than those who have fallen asleep in Christ. Your mothers, your grandmothers, your children, our loved ones, our brothers have perished. If we have hoped in Christ in this life only, we are all men most to be pitied. But now Christ has been raised from the dead. The first fruits of those, I could do a whole sermon on the first fruits. You see, because the first fruits is a double reference. And it indicates that not only that Jesus was the first to be resurrected, of many who will be resurrected in the future. See, Jesus, now I know some of you smart ones, you say, nah, but Gary, Jesus wasn't the first one to be resurrected, because you had Lazarus in the Bible was resurrected. In Luke chapter 8, Jesus resurrected this lady. Yes, Lazarus was resurrected, but he died again. And he's still dead. Amen, somebody. Yes, Jesus was the first to be resurrected, and notice this, and he got a new body that will never, ever decay. Amen. And he was the first. He was the first because the scriptures say he won't be the last. Yes, and so Jesus is the first fruits of the dead. In that aspect, and also in the Old Testament aspect, if you go back to the Old Testament, because Jesus was offered up under the Old Testament, God required the first fruits of the harvest. He required the best fruits of the harvest to be offered up to him. And Jesus Christ is the first fruits because he was sinless, perfected, and God offered him up to us as an offering to save us from our sins. And in that aspect, he is the first fruits of death. None before like him. None after like him. Talk about anybody, uplift anybody. Anybody educated in this world, smart, they can't light a candle to Jesus Christ, the Lord of Lords, our Savior. And so the significance of the resurrection is, first of all, then, it's the major evidence that Jesus is the Son of God. He's the Son of God, yes. And so according to the scriptures in Romans chapter 1 and verse 4, who was declared the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead according to the Spirit of holiness, Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus is the Son of God. The Son with power. No one can come to the Father but by coming through the Son. Yes, it's Jesus. We sing a song, Jesus, you've been good to me. Oh, Jesus, you've been good to me. Jesus, you've been good to me. So good, ever so good to me. It's all about Jesus. Yes. We sing another song. Jesus, oh Jesus, oh Jesus in the morning, Jesus in the noontime. Jesus, yes, it's Jesus. Oh Jesus when the sun goes down. Yes. See, you didn't know that other song I sang, I guess. Yes. Yeah, we sometimes we laugh and play. We laugh and play with one another and say, what you need is Jesus. Amen. Amen. But that's the truth. Amen. What the world needs is Jesus, more of Jesus. He lived this perfect example. Jesus is the Son. He is worth emulating. When you want to know how, brothers, when you want to know how to treat your wife, Jesus is the model. Love your wife as Jesus loved and gave himself. Yes, a sister, know that scripture. Yeah, you want to know, see, would Jesus hit his wife? Oh, my goodness. Would Jesus curse the church? Would Jesus give his life for the church? Yes, it's the model. Sisters, if you want to know how to treat your husband, yeah, just look to Jesus. Now, let's look to Jesus. I know, boy, I'm just so sick of my husband. Jesus was patient with the church, wasn't he? Yeah, don't give up on your husband. Amen, somebody. It's all Jesus is the Son of God. He demonstrated why. Secondly, Jesus' resurrection represents an assurance that we have forgiveness of our sins. I got a question this morning. Anybody got some sin they need forgiven? Yeah, Lord have mercy. I've been in the church all my life, but I read some of these scriptures now, Brother Vernon. I read these scriptures. I say, Lord, I've been so ignorant of a lot of things in this Bible. Cause see, this might hurt something. This might mess somebody else's mind up, but see, Jesus' resurrection represents an assurance that we can have forgiveness of our sin, because in this life, you know, there are some people who will never forgive you. There's some people, and I know we're trying to be good and we're trying to do what's right and we're trying to live right, but we still fall. Isn't that right? Romans 6 and verse 23, for all have sinned. The wages of sin is death, and the gift of God is eternal life. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. In this life, we all sin. And so when you sin, you need some forgiveness. Now, notice this. In this life, see, I could cheat on, I'm going to use me now. Is this KB? She is. Okay. And some people say, but why you are? I have to use me, because if I use you, you're going to say I'm talking about you. So I'm going to use me. So I can cheat on Sister KB. You don't have to say, I had to say that. But I could cheat on Sister KB. And Sister KB could divorce me. And she would be right if she wanted to.
Amen.
According to the scriptures. If she wanted to, she don't have to. Sister KB, you don't have to. I don't plan on doing that. But I'm just bringing up a real life example. Is that all right? Okay. Now, I could cheat on Sister KB. And people do make mistakes. And I could get on my knees. This might bother somebody, but I'm not. This is the Lord. I could get on my knees and I say, "Baby, please forgive me. I'm sorry. I didn't mean. I just got. Please forgive me." And she don't have to forgive me. Of course, I'm hoping she forgives me. And she said, "I can't. I'm sorry. Leave." And I leave. Lord have mercy. I made a mistake. You know, there are consequences for sin, aren't there?
Amen.
Just tell the truth. We're not making light of sin. You see, the wages of sin is death. It really is. And, if I shoot somebody, if I go rob a store, I might feel sorry for it, and I might be, "Oh Lord, please forgive me, Lord, but I still got to go to jail." But the beautiful thing about this resurrection power is that though I sin, though you might not forgive me for what I have done, guess who I can pray to? Guess who I can go to who forgives all sin? Now, that don't mean I go out and get 10 women. No. But see, so it means this. If there's somebody who came in here hopeless, down, depressed, and you're heavy ridden with guilt, you can have forgiveness from God and live in this earth. Yeah, oh Lord have mercy. That has to resonate. But because of the power of Jesus' resurrection, he knows our heart. When we truly repent and ask God for forgiveness, the power of Jesus' resurrection has brought forgiveness to us as Christians who obey God. Lord have mercy. Well, Sister KB, don't that's just an example, so Don't ling on that too long, baby. 1 Corinthians 15:17, and if Christ has not been raised, your faith is worthless. You are still in your sins. And see, that's why somebody in here this morning, you don't need to leave here this morning not in Jesus Christ. That'd be the most ludicrous thing, to live on this earth and to be too proud to humble yourself to obey God. And you know you have sin. All of us have sin. And to not acknowledge that Jesus came, he lived, he died, he's coming again, and I submit to you, Lord. I'm not perfect, but I submit to you. And get your sins covered before you leave here this morning. The resurrection tells the world that the kingdom of God is ruled by a living sovereign. He's a living Savior. You see, that's why I cannot commit my life to Islam. No, it's not that there are not beautiful people would do great works and have, but Mohammed cannot save me. He has not enough power to save me from my sins. And it distinguishes us from all else. The founder of Christianity, 60 years after his death. Listen now. Now, there are many eyewitnesses, but 60 years after his death on the Isle of Patmos. Listen to Revelation chapter 1 and verse 17. Revelation 1:17. When John wrote this, when I saw him, I fell at his feet like a dead man. And he placed his right hand on me, saying, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last and the living one. I was dead, and behold, I am alive. Notice, forevermore, I have the keys of death and of Hades. That's whose side I want to be on. That's whose side I want to be on. Yeah, he overcame death. See, I pictured, and I know you didn't have the liberty to do this, but I pictured in that funeral home. I used to go back into the embalming room. But Gary, you did that? I did. And I used to go back there, and that smell, it was horrible. And when they put that embalming fluid in your body, that body not moving anymore. Let somebody move it. And I remember on one occasion, I got a little tricked. I didn't say tricked, but on one occasion, I went back there, and the body had not been embalmed yet. It had not been embalmed. They had just brought the body back, and it hadn't been embalmed. And they, y'all just, and we were the other gentleman and myself, we were taking the body from the cot to the embalming table, and we moved the body from the cot to the embalming table, and all of a sudden you heard this. And I was, at this particular time, I hadn't been in the funeral business that long. And I can't tell you what I did because of the respect I have for the dead. But it scared me. But I was assured that body wasn't moving. And so when you die, when I die, we're dead. And some of us have been real close to death. And some of us have cried bitter tears over death. And we want to bring a person back, and we rub their hands, and we say, oh, is he dead? I remember when I, every time I think about it, I remember when I lost my very best friend. When I was in college, as a freshman in college, and he died, and I couldn't believe it. And I would be driving And it was like I would see him somewhere. Some of you can relate to it. It's like you, I think I saw him. I think it's that you want to see them so bad. And so to know that Jesus rose from the dead, the God in heaven had the power to raise his son. See, that gives me all respect for God. And know that we serve a living Savior. For Jesus' resurrection proves that physical death is not the termination of our existence. It's not the termination. God has the power, as he animated Jesus' body, God has the power to animate our bodies. Listen to what the scripture, if you were listening to the brother that read it and you're hearing from Romans chapter 6 and verse 4, therefore we have been buried with him through baptism. Notice, into death. See, when we are baptized, it is correlation to the death of Jesus Christ. So as Jesus was buried in the tomb, and see, there are some who teach that you don't even have to be baptized. Baptism is not necessary for your salvation. This is not one of those preachers. I preach that a person, in order for us to be saved, you must hear God's word and obey God's word. You must repent of your sins, believe that Jesus Christ died for your sins, confess Christ, and you must be baptized in water for the scriptures say, for the forgiveness or the remission of your sin. Because, see, when you go down in, notice, let me read the passage. You tell me whether or not a person needs to be baptized or not. Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism. Jesus was buried in the ground. We are buried. Baptism is not sprinkling. And see, that's another funeral home term. See, when they tell you to go bury a body, they're not talking about sprinkling dirt on the top of that body. You put that body in the ground and you cover. The word baptism means to immerse. He says we are buried with him through baptism. So we go down into the water. So that as Christ was raised from the dead. See, you can't be raised until you're buried. Amen, somebody. He was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father. So we, everybody say we. That's you and me. See, if you're not in the we, it's not talking to you. If you're not baptized, it does not pertain to you this morning. But thank God we have the opportunity to obey. So we too might walk in newness of life. So the only way you walk in newness of life is that you are buried in baptism through Christ Jesus our Lord. For if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death. Notice, if we have become united. How do you become united with him in the likeness of his death? Through baptism. If you become united with him through baptism, the Bible says, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Only if you've been buried, so if you do not be buried with him in baptism, don't expect to raise in the likeness of his resurrection. Yes, yes, yes. You see this resurrection power? You see the correlation? You see why some people teach this false doctrine, this hopeful doctrine? You can sit in your seat and believe in your heart where that Jesus Christ is your Lord and receive salvation. You better get up out your seat and get in this water and get baptized. Amen, somebody. Yes, yes, yes. And finally, the Lord's resurrection, it previewed the ultimate victory of Christ Jesus, of Christianity, over all the enemies, all the naysayers. Yeah, see, there's going to come a time when the whole world will know that Jesus is Lord. The Bible says that every eye shall see him. Oh, I love that. Every eye shall see him, no matter where they are in the world. Every tongue, the scriptures say, shall confess that he is Lord. See, there's a term, this metaphorical term in the Old Testament, and in one instance, it calls Jesus a lamb. the lamb that was slain. In Revelation chapter 5 and verse 5, it says, and one of the elders said to him, stop weeping. Behold, the lion, excuse me, verse 6. And I saw between the throne with the four living creatures and the elders a lamb standing as if slain. Then it tells them, say it says, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent into the earth. Then verse 5, the preceding verse, it says, and one of the elders said, stop weeping. Behold, the lion that is in the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has overcome so as to open the book and its seven seals. And now, Jesus died on the cross. He was sent as a lamb. And some of you farmers, you know that the sheep goes before his slaughter, just innocent as he can be, and will walk right into the slaughter. But Jesus is no longer a lamb. Now Jesus is the lion. Yeah, Jesus is, when he comes, he's going to have his holy angels with him, and Jesus is calling all the shots. And every person, as humble as he was, and I know you know some humble people who are just as nice as they can be, and you know, and God, humility is a quality of Christian. Amen. Yeah, that's why people take advantage of us, don't they? Yeah, see, yeah, you humility. It's like, for instance, in the scriptures, the Bible tells the husband to love his wife, as Christ loved the church, but it tells the wife to be subject, be in subjection. Sisters, I didn't hear nobody say amen. It does. It says to, for the sisters. Now, notice this. The scripture does not tell the husband. Well, excuse me. I mean, I say that. Because this is being quoted as the scripture, Ephesians 5:21. We're to be subject one to another. Amen. There are occasions in our marriage that I have to give and Sister KB have to give. But when it's a tie, ha ha, yeah. When it's a tie, guess what? God got a tiebreaker. He says, wives, be subject to your own husbands as unto the Lord. Boy, God is wise. God know we're going to be arguing and fussing sometime. And God know that you ain't going to be able to make up your mind. You like blue and I like yellow. And you like blue and I like yellow. Well, I want blue. Well, I want yellow. I want blue. I want yellow. I want yellow. I want blue. Okay, we're going to argue about this all day long. God said, no, sisters, be subject. Now, some sisters would rebel against that. That's just that chauvinistic Bible. That's why I don't even read the Bible. But if you're going to be pleasing to God, I mean, I don't know any whether. So I don't know, you know, so how you going to solve an argument when you got two people that got these different opinions? You know, how you going to solve it? Go to counsel. Somebody, go to counsel. You go to counsel. They say, well, what's your job? You know, well, she got a point. Well, he got a point. Well, okay, you're going to go to counsel in 10 weeks to solve this one argument when God solves the argument? Amen. Amen? Yeah. I know this is not a marriage lesson, but I'm making a point. See, notice this. See, as Christians, we are led by God. And God, so faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We are guided by God and the word of God. We are different than the world. We don't abide by the world's rules. And it takes humility. It takes obedience to follow God. And though somebody might ride, you say, girl, I wouldn't take that. Girl, that don't make no sense. That's that ancient stuff. You don't have to do that. First of all, listen to who you listening to. They're not, and I know sometimes people chide us. Some folks chide us because we are faithful coming to church. You don't have to go to church every Sunday. You always going to Bible class. Girl, come on. And some people ride us because we don't allow our children to do certain things that other children do because we're trying to raise them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. And sometimes people are mock us and talk about us because we are being obedient to God. And we are just like little lambs. Because we're trying to please God. As Jesus, I'm ending. When Jesus was on the cross, and he's on the cross, and I know that before he gets to the cross, he's walking. Oh, people are mocking him and cursing him, and when the scriptures say they spit on him. God, know I couldn't have been Jesus.
Amen.
You couldn't either. Yeah. See, this is why God not gonna have mercy on people who don't obey him.
Amen.
He will be justified if we reject his son. Because his son took all of these things and they spit on him, slapped him. And there's one thing to spit on somebody and to slap somebody, and you gotta take it. You know, people beat you up, people do things to you, and you don't have a charge. You don't have no power. You're so weak. But the scriptures say Jesus has legions of angels at his disposal. He's on the cross taking that, and they cursing him and they're playing gambling before him. And he's taking it, all of this, and he's taking it not because of his sins, because of our sins. And he's so humble. See, I'd have been on that cross stirring and bubbling and boiling. And Lord have mercy, I say, Lord, I'm sorry. We got to take this one back because I'm finna strike somebody down today. And he was a lamb. He was a lamb, but he looked before him. He thought about more than it says. See, that's why sometimes brothers, we go to work. Man, I quit that job. I ain't nobody going to talk to me like that. I understand what you're saying. I don't like folks to talk to me crazy either. But it's more than just you to think about. Amen, somebody. Some of us go to work. We don't like our job necessarily right now because we're thinking about our wife, our children, others. We're thinking about longevity. And so it's more than about you. Sometimes you just have to take something for the better.
Amen. Amen.
And Jesus, he wasn't selfish. Yes, he was not selfish. Oh, have mercy. And he took it. And he took it and he died. Notice that he remembered his charge. He remembered his orders from his father. And he also remembered the reward. See, some of us, we look at the pain, but we don't look at the reward. You see, he look at that there's a problem. See, don't you take matters in your own hand and give and have revenge on people just because you can. See, some people don't hold our tongue, don't care what happened to us, because we have the power to say it. But you don't think about what you say, what effect it will have on your influence, on your future, and just realize the Bible says, God says, vengeance is mine, said the Lord. Didn't God say it? Didn't he say that?
Amen.
He says, I will. I'm going to take care of you. Be patient, sister. I will repay. And see, repay not only means that he is going to take care of whatever it is that's leaning on you. He's also going to reward us. Yeah. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have. He says, for without faith it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So our patience, yes, we are lambs right now, but Jesus is now the lion. The resurrection, Jesus understood, I'm going to obey him to the end. And he obeyed him, and he put all of his faith in God, and he died the death for us. But God kept his promise. And while he was in this dead state, if you will, God stirred and raised his son up. And through the power of the resurrection, he lives, never to die in the more. He's at the right hand of the Father, has no pain, no suffering. When he comes, he left here in shame. When he comes back, it'll be in glory. Amen. He left here ridiculed. Yes. But the scriptures say every eye shall behold him. I don't care what the world is doing. The Super Bowl can be going on. But when Jesus comes, everything is going to stop. Amen. Amen, somebody. Amen. That's the power of the resurrection. And if you're here today and you're not a Christian, my goodness, there's not a better invitation for you on this resurrection day. Yes, they call it Easter. We call it the first day of the week. John said, I was in the spirit on the Lord's day. And all it is to us is just the Lord's day. It is a special day. But we do this. If you want to see Easter Sunday, come back every first day of the week. Here at the Fifth Ward Church of Christ, in just a moment, we're going to partake of this supper. And we're going to remember Jesus. We're going to be thinking about his death, his burial, and his resurrection. And we don't need no Easter eggs up here to do that. No, we don't need to do that. Yeah, so we're going to serve the Lord. So you're here today and you want to be a Christian, you come by faith, believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. If you're here today and you want to submit to the Lord, if you're willing to repent of your sins, Luke 13, 3 and 5. If you're willing to confess Christ, Romans 10, 9 and 10, Matthew 10, 32. If you're willing to be baptized in water for the forgiveness of your sins, it's as simple as that. God didn't make this hard. You too can be added to the body of Christ, to the church of Christ. You can be baptized into Christ in the likeness of his death, and you'll be raised. The scriptures say, as Jesus received a new body, it says that we too, those who are dead already, when Jesus comes, the dead in Christ shall rise first, the scriptures say. Then we who are left will be caught up with him. And we all will have these new bodies. Yes, Lord have mercy. I don't know about you, but I could use a little help right now. I could use a new knee. But that's not the one I want. But you here too can be a Christian, a saint, a believer this morning, even this day. I'm sure you will remember it. If you're here and you have a prayer request, we'll pray for you. If you're here and you want to get something right in your life, won't you do that right now as we stand and sing the song of invitation.
Jesus, you've been good to me.
Oh,
Jesus.
Yes.
You've been good to me, Jesus. You've been good to me. You've been good ever so good. You have been good, so good to me. And Jesus,
yes.
You've been good to me. And Jesus,
you've been good to me.
Yes.
Come to Jesus.